time for the Garden Show, featuring the staff of the Cheyenne Botanic Gardens.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the Garden Show here on Cheyenne Today. Cheyenne Today presented by Black Hills Energy. Garden Show brought to you by Gardening with Altitude. Growing from the ground up, 1101 Logan Avenue. Springtime is here. You can feel it. You can feel springtime. So as you're getting ready for that lawn, garden, looking for a new tree, whatever it might be, stop on by Gardening with Altitude. They'll help you get things going because, you know what? They know what grows in this climate, so they can help you out and get you on the right track. Gardening with Altitude, 1101 Logan Avenue. Isaiah and Jacob in studio with us from the Cheyenne Botanic Gardens, our two resident horticulturists. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in. How are you doing today?
Very well, you?
Good. Did you guys fill out your NCAA tournament brackets? You got all that?
No, I should have.
Yeah.
Not this year. I've done well in the past, but not this year.
All right. Isaiah, how about you? You got your brackets filled out?
No, I'm not too big into basketball.
You're a football guy.
Of course.
Yes. Jacob was telling us before we went on the show, he's trying to get in shape, and it's killing him. You thought you could do what you needed to do, but you're finding out that
4:30 in the morning comes real early. Real early.
It certainly does, especially when you're working out, man. Yeah. That is not an easy thing to do. So 634-1240. If you have a question or a comment for us, you can text 630-2266. And if, again, I'll reiterate, if you do have a question or a comment and you call in or you text in, I will put your name into the drawing for the 1240 Easy Cash. Yeah. So you have your shot at $500 there. Gentlemen, so springtime, as I mentioned, right around the corner. You can kind of feel it, but Isaiah, you're not from around here. Jacob, you are. Springtime means snowstorms and weather. You just never know what's going to happen around
here. It's roller coaster emotions and just rough times for the next month.
I've definitely seen the joke that it is. If one day it's 60, the next day it's 20.
So. Oh, yeah. Well, that's where we're headed. So get ready for that.
Yeah.
Good thing about this snowstorm is that the trees haven't leaved out yet.
Exactly.
A lot of times, Jacob, you've been dealing with trees. When the trees have leaved out and we get those heavy snows, that's catastrophic to trees.
Disaster here in town. And generally, you know, we're out there trying to knock stuff off. And I always tell people, go out there and, you know, get a broom and knock it off your trees. But, man, that is rough, too. That is, you know, you're going to get soaked. You're going to get just snow everywhere. But you might save your crab apple. You might save something in your yard. Some of your bigger trees, it's just, I mean, don't stand under them, you know, because big stuff's coming down. So.
Yeah, if you are out there, make sure you have a hood or a hat on or something to keep it from getting down near your neck as you do it.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's, gentlemen, we do have a phone call off the bat here. So let's head to the phone. And good morning. You are on Cheyenne Today, the weekly garden show.
Morning.
Hey, morning. How you doing?
Good.
All right. A friend of mine has given me a big rhubarb plant, and so I got it transplanted from her house to mine. What's the best way of doing that, and what kind of sunlight or shade, or what's the best way of doing that?
Well, rhubarb's pretty hardy, so you can get your shovel, and if you're going to split it up, you know, get you a good chunk. Make sure you get down deep enough. They're not super deep-rooted. You need to go about, maybe 10 inches down to get the roots of that.
Okay.
You know, toss it in a bucket. You know, don't manhandle it too hard, but have a spot ready. Rhubarb does like full sunlight to grow and, you know, a decent amount of water if you want to get it pretty big. But, yeah, I wouldn't put it in a super shady spot. I think it can tolerate a little bit of shade, but my rhubarb at my house just, you know, comes up on its own every year, and I barely hit it with water, so they're very hardy. So, and expect it to come back every year too.
Well, a couple of years ago, I planted some underneath a pine tree, and it never took. So, I'm not going to do that again. You know, so.
Yep, that might be a little bit of an acidic area.
A lot of shade.
A lot of shade too. So, yeah, I definitely put it out. You know, let it get some sunlight, and it'll take off.
Okay, thank you very
much. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Bob.
Oh, hey, Bob, how are you?
Yeah, good, Bob Werdeman, yeah.
All right, Bob, I'll put your name into the drawing, okay?
Oh, I appreciate that.
I know. You bet. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Rhubarb.
People are fascinated. I hate rhubarb.
Right, I know. I can't give mine away.
People put it in whatever. Strawberry rhubarb? No. To me, rhubarb is more of a weed than anything else.
You got to really sugar it up for me to eat it. I mean, I knew somebody that used to eat it with salt. Oh, they would cut really? It and put salt on it. Yeah. I don't know if anyone else has ever heard of that, but I just, I couldn't do it.
I wonder if it's the same thing with grapefruit. You know, you put salt on grapefruit.
Yeah, I know. I'm not one of those savory guys, but
no.
Yeah, rhubarb just never been one of my favorites. I get this huge crop every year, and I don't have to do anything to it. It was growing at the house before I bought the house.
Yeah.
And I just give it away every year, and, you know, I have tons of people. They'll come over and fill a trash bag up and leave, and I said, more power to you. Enjoy it.
So, I mean, it's simple to grow. That's I could probably grow it. It's that simple, but I have no use for rhubarb whatsoever.
No, and, you know, there's a variety that's ornamental, and it's beautiful. It's got really dark purple leaves on it. It doesn't get super huge like standard rhubarb does, but that's always a nice choice too if you want some rhubarb in your yard and you don't want to feel bad about not eating it.
Yeah.
All right. 634-1240, Fat Boys Tire and Auto phone line, text line 630-2266. Joe, we always talk about what's going on at the Children's Village and what's happening out at the gardens. So what's happening out there right now?
Oh, we got all sorts of stuff. So the Paul Smith Children's Village, all classes and events there are free, and that's thanks in part to RBC Wealth Management, who is our seasonal sponsor. Today we have at 4 o'clock Exploration Little Green Men. Do you feel lucky? Not sure exactly what they're doing, but I'm guessing that involves some army men and some fun there.
I think it's something to do with making army men into leprechauns. Possibly.
Oh yeah, leprechauns. There you go.
St. Patrick's Day is Saturday.
Yeah, so. Maybe that makes sense there. Fridays at 11 a.m. is story time, and that's every week, and that's for preschool age children. That's stories and crafts, and they're based on a weekly theme. And that's, like I said, every Friday at 11 a.m. Saturday and Sunday, they had something, the drum...
Drum Circle is canceled on Saturday.
Yep, okay. Drum Circle is canceled, so maybe stay tuned to the website or something. And
It'll be back next month.
Yeah, and you'll be able to find out what else is going on this weekend. But that jumps us to Tuesday, because they are closed Monday, and at 4 o'clock they have Lego Rappel, bricks of your own design descending on an incline. So that should be interesting, and that is also Wednesday at 4, the same thing. So that's what's going on at the Paul Smith Children's Village. And then over at the new building there, we have the lecture series is continuing, and that will be on the 24th here, which is not this weekend, but next weekend, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Yes, at 1 p.m. we have Kent and Seth, who is a master crevice and rock gardener from Grand Junction, Colorado. He is the one who designed and helped build the great big huge one we put out in front of the building. He'll be back for that talk. That's at 1 o'clock, March 24th. You can get tickets at the Tilted Tulip, correct?
Yes, at the Tilted Tulip gift shop located inside the Botanic Gardens.
Okay, yep. $15. That's the last one of that series, so I highly, highly suggest checking this out. This guy's great to listen to. He's got a lot of good ideas, and these gardens are really up and coming. Mm-hmm. So, and they just look really great too. And then we have yoga going on, which I actually finally went to. So, and it was part of my workout regimen now, but it was actually very good. I'm kind of biased because it's my mother teaching it.
Oh, okay.
So, but she has been teaching yoga in Cheyenne for over 27 years.
Really?
Yeah, she was doing it, you know, before a lot of people didn't really know exactly what yoga was and what it was for.
Yeah.
So those classes, it's $40 a month, and that gets you 8 classes. They're working on a pricing structure now if you just want to come and check out one class. I'm not exactly sure what it's going to cost.
Mm-hmm.
But you can inquire inside the Botanic Gardens in the offices for those classes, I believe. So.
Yes.
But those run every Tuesday and Thursday from 5:15 to 6:15.
Okay.
So you can come in there and enjoy the space and do some yoga and get good and stretched out.
Perfect.
Yeah. And then we have, what we got left here? Oh, recycled wool succulents. So this is really interesting. Okay. We got a little picture of them there.
Yeah.
So you kind of know what succulents are. Everybody kind of is selling them all over the place.
Yeah.
They're these little plants that are in the cactus family, right? All of them. And very popular. Well, this is taking recycled wool that you have in your house and creating succulent designs with them, mm-hmm. and you're supposed to bring your own container. It's a $15 class, but they make these amazing little designs with them that look just, you know, they mimic different types of succulents.
Yeah.
So it's a fun little class. It's $15. You can, like I said, bring your own container. Then that can be paid at the offices of the Botanic Gardens if you want to sign up for that. And that is the March 25th from 1 to 4 p.m. there. So, and that's really all we have for the classes right now. There's definitely a lot more coming down the pipe. The summer is going to be super busy with classes there. So we're really excited.
I will say for the wool succulents class, it is pre-register. So if you want a spot, get that before Friday, I believe.
Oh, you got to do it before Friday?
To make sure you've got a spot. Because it is limited. I think there's only maybe 10 or 15 spots.
Okay.
So if you're interested in it, definitely go ahead and get on that.
I know
those
classes
look super cool.
Yeah, and they fill up pretty quick, too.
How did this succulents kick get going? I've never heard of succulents until about a year ago, and now all of a sudden it's...
They're everywhere.
It's everywhere. How did this succulents kick get rolling?
I think it's always been kind of a niche thing, mm-hmm. and it's just gained ground because it's very water-wise. It's very simple to take care of. You don't only have to water these things, you know, when the soil dries out, essentially. And even mm-hmm. then, it's not too much. And they're really neat. They come in so many little different varieties and shapes and colors. And
they've only gotten better as people have gotten interested in them. So people are breeding them like crazy. And, I mean, bright yellow, bright purple. I mean, ridiculous colors. And they look awesome.
Yeah.
They?
And just easy
to find
care,
them anywhere,
man.
Now.
Yeah. You know, you don't get a lot of bugs on them. You don't have to fertilize all the time with them, which, I mean, you do occasionally, but I mean, minimal amount of care. And I think that is the sticking point.
Yeah.
Is it's, hey, I can throw this on my desk. It looks great. And when I remember to water it today, and you're still good.
I guess that's the thing. Are they more of an indoor thing or an outdoor thing?
It sort of depends on your climate. We have actually quite a few succulents that will tolerate our winter out here.
Really?
We at the gardens have two green roofs that are sedum, which is a succulent.
Yeah.
But they are really big for the inside because, once again, if it's a little darker or if it's in the sun or, you know, they're super tolerant of any condition. And like you said, if you forget to water it this month, you're probably good.
Yeah.
Yeah. How big do they have? You don't get real big, do they?
No. I mean, there's some varieties that kind of grow up on a stalk that can get a little tall, but those are more your inside ones. The ones that if you plant them outside, they're going to stay relatively small. And they do really well, like I was saying, in the crevice gardens, or if you have, you know, an area that's rocky or something, you can tuck those little guys in there with a little bit of soil, and they'll be just fine.
Uh-huh.
So they like those little microclimates that you can create in your yard and your little hidden crevice spots.
Yeah, maybe those really areas that, you know, water doesn't quite get to, so it's, you know, always super dry. They love that.
Really?
You know, they prefer less water than more, so.
I actually saw a piece of one that had blown off of the roof that is growing in the crack on the side of the building where it had blown in there with a little bit of dirt, and it's been there all winter, and it's actually growing.
Really?
So that's how little a care you need to give these things. So.
Perfect plan for me. I can tell you that. 634-1240 if you have a question or a comment for Jacob or Isaiah today. Please feel free to give us a call. Text line 630-2266. You call in with a question or comment today, I will throw your name into the drawing for the 1240 Easy Cash giveaway. We do need to take a time out. This is the Weekly Garden Show here on Cheyenne Today. It is presented by Black Hills Energy.
Well, there ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Oven in the morning, out in the garden, get you a rifle. Hey, don't get a heart. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging. Every time I go out and dig me a bit.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the Weekly Garden Show on Cheyenne Today. It is presented by Gardening with Altitude at 1101 Logan Avenue, growing from the ground up. And Cheyenne Today, presented by Black Hills Energy. 634-1240, if you have a question or a comment, that is the Fat Boys Tire and Auto phone line. Text line 630 2266. If you call in a question or a comment, text in a question or a comment, I'll put your name into the drawing for the 1240 Easy Cash giveaway. We'd have Jacob and Isaiah, horticulturists from the Cheyenne Botanic Gardens, in studio with us today. So they are waiting for your calls and questions. I think we have a call coming in here. So before I get to my next question, I'll make sure that that's for us, or maybe not. Just get the high sign from JD. It is.
All right. So let's head back to the phone. And good morning. You are on the Garden Show. Who's this?
Miss Janet.
Hey, Janet. How are you?
Fine. Thank you for this program. It does help out.
Excellent.
I'm thinking about putting some more strawberry plants out in a container type raised bed. And I was wondering what varieties for this area would be good to do, and where could I get them?
Well, there's a lot of different varieties out there, and you do have to be careful what you're buying, because there are different ones for different zones. Most of your stores here in town, Gardening with Altitude and anywhere else you go that you're going to pick that up, even Lowe's and places like that, most of those varieties they're going to carry are going to do well here. They usually don't send some of the non-hardy varieties to us. But containers and stuff, like what would you suggest putting them in, Isaiah? I mean, they do well. I've seen them in terracotta. I've seen them in...
Yeah, strawberries will do really well in just about anything. I would suggest containers because that helps get the fruit itself up off the ground. And the last thing you want is to, you know, be growing this plant throughout the summer. And as they start coming on, they're touching the mud and the dirt and start rotting. And another big thing is birds. I mean, there's no telling how many strawberries are lost to birds, so just keeping them under some kind of netting
is beneficial. A friend of mine who grows a ton of strawberries actually builds cages to grow them in, and it's actually worked out amazing, because Isaiah's right, we do just lose an absolute ton of strawberries to birds. I've seen even dogs. We had a dog at one point that loved strawberries. He'd come by and pick one off every once in a while. But the varieties that you'd want to be looking for, I can't remember the name of the one that's one of the big ones here, is generally going to be sold everywhere. It's has Delicious in the name, and I'm trying to think of the other one. But I'll tell you what. If you want to give us a call at the Botanic Gardens later on today or later this week, we could have a list of them set up for you that will do well here for you to look for, since we can't think of them off the top of our head right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what is your number there?
It is 637-6428.
58.
58. Sorry, that's forestry. 58. 637-6458.
Would you have information on strawberries on the website? I know you got a lot of information about that, about plants and things. Would any of that information be on the website?
Yeah, I think you can get on there. I haven't been through the new website to go through completely all of the content, but you might be able to get on there and check out some of that. And that, the website is, www.botanic.org?
Yes.
All right, yeah, it's pretty simple to get to, so.
Thank you so much.
All right, no problem. Thank you. We'll put your name into the drawing for the easy cash. And if you do have a question or a comment for Jacob or Isaiah, please feel free. Give us a call, 634-1240. I just don't think about strawberries growing around here, but you know what?
Strawberries do really well. We've, in the past, growing up, my dad always had them growing. He had, like I said, a large terracotta planter with a bunch of different outcroppings on it. And those things would just be spilling out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd be out there fighting the birds off in the morning, too.
Yeah.
Literally with a broom to get those things. Yeah, but you just have, you do need a little bit shadier area. They are not full sun, for sure.
No.
So you definitely need a little bit of a shady area, and they love the water. They like to be well drained, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you just need to find a really good darkened spot with some good soil to put them in. But I would suggest doing them in a covered raised planter or a pot of some sort. You can buy netting too. There's different types of netting you can buy to drape over those during the day to keep the birds off of them. But, you know, your number one thing is making sure that they're in a semi-darkened spot. They don't, like I said, they do not want full sunlight.
Yeah, definitely don't put them in the full sun.
Okay, 634-1240. If you have a question or a comment, text line 630-2266. Now, starting a new vegetable garden. Obviously, you know what you want to grow, but how do you look to, you know, how do you start one as far as sites go? What are you looking for?
I'm generally looking for the sunniest spot in my yard because I want to give all those vegetables the most light I can, which is not a problem here in Cheyenne. I know that. Also, just the closeness to the house. You know, if I'm more tempted to work in the garden the closer it is. You know, if it's all in the back 40, I may not get to it every day, but if it's right outside the back door, you know, anytime I walk by a window and I look at it, I'm like, oh, I can go run out there and do this today.
Or, exactly.
You know, it's even better when you start getting your vegetables coming on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You start cooking and you look out the window, oh, the so-and-so is popping up today. Let's throw that in the dish.
Yeah.
Also, the soil is probably the biggest factor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you are having problems with the soil in your yard, it's really clay or it's really hard-packed, build a raised bed and fill it with topsoil, and then you alleviate that problem.
Yeah, you'll be leagues ahead if you do that.
Build a raised bed?
Yeah, Cheyenne's so hit and miss for, you know, what the typical soils are here. You know, CSU in Fort Collins, actually, you can get on there, call their extension office. You'll have to look up the number. But if you call their extension office, they will send you a soil sample kit. And what you do is you take a little bit of soil in this baggie and you send it back to them. And they'll send you back a sheet two arm lengths long telling you everything about your soil and what you need to amend it. You can even tell them kind of what you're shooting for. What, you know, I'm going to grow vegetables. I'm going to grow cut flowers. And they will give you recommendations on all of that. I highly suggest doing that. They have the, you know, your standard soil test kits at, you know, most of the garden centers too. Little bit harder to use for the novice, I think.
Well, I think a lot of those tell you what your soil is, but not exactly what's to in do. Yeah. And that's what's great about Extension Service. It'll say, you know, you have exactly this kind of nitrogen level. You need to add this much, or you need to amend with this certain chemical to negate that. And
that's,
you know, for every 1,000 foot, add so many pounds.
Okay.
Yeah.
So simple.
Somebody starting a vegetable garden, you know, you were just talking about it, Isaiah, you know, if it's close to the house, you know, you think of a vegetable garden, you think of it just a huge area. I mean, if somebody's just starting it up, do you recommend going small
to start with? Yeah, for
you
sure.
You definitely don't want to go too overboard, because if it's too much for you to handle that first year, you're never going to want to do it again. I mean, if you're out there working 8 hours a day in your garden, you know, you may not want to.
How small? I mean, what kind of area are we talking about?
You could probably get away with anything as small as like a 5x10, you know, if you want. What I recommend for beginners is herbs. They're super easy to do and immediate impact.
Mm-hmm.
So basil, rosemary, stuff like that. Tomatoes are nice. You just have to be careful. I would put those in a container and bring them in the house, just because we get really cold at night, and that's not too good for tomatoes.
Yeah, tomatoes, there's a lot of different little tricks around here. I've seen people, you know, put clear barrels over the top of them. I've seen them. There's something called a wall of water that is a jacket of water that you put around your tomato. Those work really well around here for insulation. Tomatoes, they are very picky in Cheyenne. Mm-hmm. I've had bumper crops and I've had complete crop failure, you know, back to back. So you got to be really careful. Another one that I really like is salad greens. And they actually sell, you can buy, and this is even smaller, we're talking just a bowl here.
Yeah.
You see, a lot of times you'll see just this pre-made bowl of salad greens, and you can have it outside, you can have it inside. You just need to have it in a sunny spot, and you keep giving it water and slowly cut that stuff off for salads, and you'll have fresh salad greens all summer. And I mean, so we can go to each end of the spectrum here. You could have a little herb garden in your window with a salad bowl if you want to go that way, or you can go full blown with build yourself a greenhouse and work 8 hours a day like Isaiah said.
Yeah, so I know you're getting ready to plant your vegetable garden. What are a couple of things that you've always had success with?
Well, we, like I said, we've done well with tomatoes. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. We moved the area they were in this last year, and I think that attributed to the failure on that part. But once again, check your soil, because they were in raised beds with a very, very specific type of soil that I had, a mix that I had bought specifically for the tomatoes, and I moved them down to the ground level beds, which were more of just a standard topsoil mix with a little bit of amendment to it, and they did terrible. So, but we've had great times with Anaheim chilies. I'm big on growing salsa ingredients.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, your big Vidalia onions, your which, you know, all of these, check your seed packs when you're buying them for when to sow and where they are good to grow at. You got to be careful. But onions, we got amazing Brussels sprouts last year, if you like Brussels sprouts.
Really?
Oh, yeah, they're totally worth the wait. And they take all summer, and they even do even better if you let them go through a couple of frosts in the fall. They just sweeten up. So we did really well with those. Cabbage, cauliflower, anything in that family does really well here. It's really hearty. We grew tomatillos. We've grown just a plethora of different things over the years. And really, I think the standouts have been some of the peppers. We always do really well with those, the tomatoes. And tomatoes, too, you got to be careful whether they're indeterminate or not. Whether or not, because I've made that mistake before. And some of these grow in a bush, you know, a nice, nice bush. The other one's vine, and they climb up.
Yeah.
So the determinate tomatoes have a determined size they will be when they're fully grown.
Okay.
The indeterminate tomatoes have an indeterminate amount of time. So they'll grow all the way up the side of your house if you let them.
Oh, really?
So if you have a little bitty area that's covered that you're trying to keep your tomatoes in, look for determinate.
The determinate.
Yes.
Tomatoes. Yeah. Okay, we did get a text that came in. When we were talking about strawberries, about the kinds, somebody texted in Fort Laramie strawberries.
Fort Laramie, that is one. Yeah, there's a I think that's actually one of the three that is from this area.
Yeah.
So you know they're going to do well.
That makes sense. Fort Laramie.
And then this same texter talking about the CSU soil test said, you can get a CSU soil test forms at Gardening with Altitude.
Oh, excellent.
So stop on, swing on by Gardening with Altitude.
And there
is a CSU
there is a cost forms. Involved in that, and I believe it's around $30, $30, $35 to get that soil test done.
I'm not positive, but that sounds right.
But it's, like I said, it's totally worth it. It can, you know,
make or break.
Make or break your garden for the year, you know, letting you know what you need to put in there for amendments. So.
Okay, so there was no name on these texts. Texter, if you want to text in your name, I will put your name into the 1240 Easy Cash giveaway. So Fort Laramie strawberries. If it's named after a place in Wyoming, you'd figure they probably got to grow pretty well.
Right.
All right, we got to take it. 634-1240. We got to take a timeout. That is the Fat Boys Tire and Auto phone line, text line, 630-2266. This is the Weekly Garden Show, brought to you by Gardening with Altitude.
Eat a lot of peaches, try and find Jesus on your own.
Welcome back. This is the Weekly Garden Show, brought to you by Gardening with Altitude, 634-1240. That is the Fat Boys Tire and Auto phone line. Text line 630-2266. Jacob and Isaiah, horticulturists from Cheyenne Botanic Gardens, in studio with us. And, gentlemen, we do have a text that came in during the break. And what is the best kind of fertilizer to throw on an old established lawn today before this moisture? Is it Revive, Hi-Fos, Weed and Feed? What do you think? And that is from Shirley.
Okay, so there's a lot of different things you can be putting down right now. Your grass isn't technically, you know, actively growing right now. Obviously, most unless your lawn is green, which I doubt, it's still somewhat dormant. So you don't want to go with anything that's really high in nitrogen.
No.
What you are looking for is a slow release, because anything you put down right now is going to soak in and it's going to wash through and it's not going to do anything. So if you do put anything right now, I would look for something that is slow release. Right now isn't the best time to be fertilizing your lawns. Maybe at the end of end of the month, next month, I would start getting on that. You know, aerating's a really big deal too. I always tell people, you know, compaction is actually one of the biggest problems we have here with lawns. People see these browning and spots and stuff, and a lot of times it's compaction. But if you're looking right now, I would stick with something that is a slow release.
Okay.
So, and you know, putting down the weed and feed's not going to hurt either, because you can start knocking down, because the weeds generally start coming up before the grass does. So.
Yeah, but people see the moisture's coming. I need to get something down. So you know, it's too early to get that rolling right now.
I think it's too early. You know, I know other people that are already out there dropping fertilizer, but I think it's at this time of year, it's kind of a waste of money. Like I said, some of the stuff is slow release, and you will get that stuff sticking in there as soon as that grass starts growing. But right now I'd be more worried about, letting the ground thaw out completely, which we're still, you know, we're still pretty frozen. I know we've had a couple nice days, but it's going to take a couple weeks of nice weather for us to get to the point where everything's completely unthawed and that growing season starts again.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you just really have to watch it and, see when it starts coming up, actually, then you can start. And like I said, the aerating and mowing companies and stuff will probably be knocking on your door, so that's always a good indicator of when you should be doing that. So yeah.
Yep. We did get a text. I kind of just answered our next text. This came in from Gene. What's the best time to start to fertilize?
So. Yeah, like I was saying, you know, I definitely wait until next month. We're going to get all this moisture. It's going to be back and forth. You know, you don't want a ton of fertilizer sitting on your lawn with a foot of snow on top of it. So I'd hold off on some of that stuff. Give it a couple weeks. Let everything warm up. Let your ground thaw out and let that grass come out of its dormancy. So make sure it's growing before you put that stuff down.
Yeah, I did notice a little bit of green in my grass, so
yeah.
Can you start throwing some water on that?
There's pockets, yeah. You can definitely. I mean, if it's above 40 out, you can definitely be putting water down. Yeah. The more moisture and sunlight it gets, the faster it's going to start growing. So,
well, maybe I don't want to do that. Yeah.
And then you got to get the mower.
Sure, you get to work on
that. Exactly. 634-1240, Fat Boys Tired Auto phone line. Text line 630-2266. Thank you for your participation so far. We just got a couple minutes left here on the show. Guys, what do you need to set up for growing seedlings in the home, at the house?
Well, definitely go and look for seedling trays. There's so many different things that you can do. You know, you get those little starter plugs and you push one seed into the center out of it. We've done that in the past, you know, at home, and it works fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think you will have a better germination rate, which is that's how many of the seeds actually turn into plants, if you use what is a seedling starter tray. And make sure you're using a seedling mix when you're using the soil. You don't want to use a potting soil. Try and find a seedling mix. Yep. And most of your garden stores are going to carry this. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit finer. It's more porous. You're definitely going to, you know, get that drainage. Obviously, you need a sunny window. You know, if you're looking for a south side of your house, hopefully around here. But like me, I don't have a south-facing window. And unfortunately, that means I have to rotate my plants every day to make sure that they're not growing completely towards that window that way. They do end up getting a little leggy, which means they get a little bit taller than they should be because they're trying to grow towards that light source. So if you have a nice south-facing window, and really there's a lot of cheap lights that you can buy now too that you can set yourself up with that you know, do even better than a window.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to have the room for this stuff. Yeah. So. You know, if you're going to go that route and spend that money, that's great. But, you know, we bought a real cheap indoor greenhouse that's sealable. I think it costs like $45. It's got different racks on it. We just set our trays in there. Make sure you label everything very well. I will that warn helps. You of that.
Yep.
You don't want to mix up your labels, because then you'll be standing over your pepper thinking, oh, this thing looks funny. And all of a sudden it's a cabbage. So you definitely want to keep your labeling together, but I don't know. What else would you think? Fertilizing, you don't really want to do in those early stages?
Not for seedlings, because you just want them to establish pretty well, and if you put too much nitrogen fertilizer, you're going to get them to get leggy and just grow super long, and that's not what you want.
Yeah.
But that seedling mix that you use is also sold as germinating mix or something similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to find. Everybody's carrying it.
Okay. How about the real tiny seeds? Any tricks to, I mean, those things are, you can get some that are really, really tiny. Any tricks to growing those, sowing those?
A lot of them now are being sold as pelleted seed, which just means they'll take either one or a few of those really tiny seeds like carrot. Carrot is super, super small and sucks to hand sow by itself. Yeah. But what the pelleted is, it's a compound similar to like a clay or a polymer, and it's just bound up in it, so it creates a larger ball.
So
it's like you're planting a larger seed, and then that material around it also helps it retain a little bit more water.
Yeah, just breaks down slowly and releases that seed for you. Because he's right. I mean, they have these little clickers, they call them, you know, and it's a little tray and it's got a clicker in it. And as that thing clicks, it pops one of those seeds out.
Yeah.
And you might have to have a jeweler's glass to be seeing where you're putting some of this if your eyes aren't good enough.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to do any any flower gardens from seed. Those things are microscopic. It is ridiculous how small they are.
Okay. Yeah.
How about leftover seeds? How do you test if anything still works from last season? I know the people still, you know, they get the little packets, don't plant it. How do you test leftover seeds?
Well,
or is it just a roll of the dice?
Yeah, for leftover seeds, you know, if you have any leftover after you've planted, I'd keep them in a cool area. That'll help them last longer.
Yeah.
But what I've always done is you take a wet paper towel, not soaking wet, just moist, and you take 10 seeds, you lay them out, fold over that paper towel on top of them, put them in a Ziploc bag, throw them in the sun, come back in a couple days and count how many of them have actually sprouted.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's anything less than 5 of those plants, get rid of it. It's not worth it.
Okay. Yep. That's what I was saying with the germination rate. Yeah. And sometimes you can see that on the seed packet. They'll tell you right up front, you know, only 90% of these are going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with everything. But like Isaiah said, you know, generally you get 1-2 years into it, especially if they've been stored somewhere that's kind of hot and dry.
Yes.
That germination rate's going to go way down. You can keep these things in your fridge. That's where I prefer to keep them if you have the space. But if you got them in the basement in a cellar or something, great place to keep them. You're going to extend that shelf life, and you won't be having to spend that money.
Okay, perfect. Gentlemen, pleasure visiting with you today. We certainly do appreciate it. Again, thanks to everybody for your calls and texts. You're all your names now going to go into the box for the 1240 Easy Cash giveaway. If you didn't get in on air here, you can always go to our website, kfbcradio.com. Get registered that way. Go to Facebook, get registered there, or stop by the great sponsors, and you can find those outstanding sponsors on our website. Just click on the contest tab, and you can go to those outstanding sponsors. Fill out a registration card. Jacob, Isaiah, you guys have a great day.
Yeah, so
thank you as well.
Time of year. You guys are coming in here dragging here pretty soon. Yep. It's that time of year. This is KFBC Cheyenne.